Why don't you open your Bibles to Psalm 73? I am so glad to be back today. I thought I was going to be able to at least do Sunday school in church last Sunday. I felt real bad Saturday. And I told my wife, tomorrow I'll do Sunday school in church, and then I'll go on to the hospital after church Sunday morning. But when I got up, I knew I couldn't do Sunday school in church. And so we called Brother Renzi, and thank the Lord he was so gracious to come, short notice. And we love Brother Renzi. He's a good preacher. Just shucks the corn. But they kept me Sunday and Monday. Monday afternoon they cut me loose, said, nothing more we can do for you here but give you antibiotic, and you can do that at home. And so I'm on heavy antibiotics several times a day, hopefully clearing this thing up, getting on the other side of it. Of course, that postponed surgery, who knows when that'll happen. And I can't say I'm too sad about that. But anyway, appreciate all your prayers. Please continue to pray that we'll get this thing cleared up quickly. The biggest issue right now is energy level. When your body fights infection, it just zaps you, because your body's energy is going towards that infection fight. And so, you know, I wear out pretty quick, and I just can't handle that. Also, pray for Bob Hamlin. Got word yesterday he's got some heart issues. Pray for Brother Bob. We just hate that he's going through these things. And it's serious. Serious business. So pray for him. Psalm 73. I love the Psalms. And I love to preach out of Psalms. I do. Sometimes the Lord will let me. Sometimes he won't. Today he does. And so we're in Psalm 73. I'm going to read the psalm. I want you to follow along with me. Psalmist writes, truly God is good to Israel, even to such as are of a clean heart. But as for me, my feet were almost gone. My steps had well nigh slipped. For I was envious at the foolish. When I saw the prosperity of the wicked, for there are no bands in their death, but their strength is firm. They are not in trouble as other men, neither they plague like other men. Therefore pride compasseth them about as a chain. Violence cover them as a garment. Their eyes stand out with fatness. They have more than a heart could wish. They are corrupt and speak wickedly. Concerning oppression, they speak loftily. They set their mouth against the heavens, and their tongue walketh through the earth. Therefore his people return hither, and waters of a full cup are wrung out to them. And they say, how doth God know? And is there knowledge in the Most High? Behold, these are the ungodly who prosper in the world. They increase in riches. Verily I have cleansed my heart in vain, and washed my hands in innocency. For all the day long have I been plagued and chastened every morning. If I will say, I will speak thus, behold, I should offend against the generation of thy children. When I thought to know this, it was too painful for me, until I went into the sanctuary of God. Then understood I their end. Surely thou didst set them in slippery places. Thou castest them down into destruction. How are they brought into desolation as in a moment? They are utterly consumed with terrors. As a dream when one waketh, so, O Lord, when thou awakest, thou shalt despise their image. Thus my heart was grieved, and I was pricked in my reins. So foolish was I and ignorant, I was as a beast before thee. Nevertheless, I am continually with thee. Thou holdest me by thy right hand. Thou shalt guide me with thy counsel, and afterward receive me to glory. Whom have I in heaven but thee? There is none upon earth that I desire beside thee. My flesh and my heart faileth, but God is the strength of my heart and my portion forever. For lo, they are far from thee. For lo, they that are far from thee shall perish. Thou hast destroyed all them that go a-whoring from thee. But it is good for me to draw near to God. I have put my trust in the Lord. that I may declare thy works. And let's pray. Lord, bless once again the preaching of your word. Father, we know it's not in my abilities, it's not in my intellect, it's not in anything about me. It's all about you and the power of your word to penetrate hearts and break through barriers that you might do a work in hearts and lives here today. Lord, I'm burdened that you use me. Thank you, I can be back in church. Lord, I felt like I missed a whole day of my life when I missed church last week. And I thank you that you allow me to be here today. And Lord, that you'll use me as I preach this message, that folks will be attentive to what you have to say through your Holy Spirit. Help us to be putty in your hands, if you will, clay in your hands, to allow you to do that which you desire to do. The Bible says that the potter has power over the clay. And oh God, might we be clay in your hands today. Save those who are here who have never trusted Christ, have no assurance of heaven. Help them to see their need of Christ and to receive him, and touch the heart of every believer here this morning, I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Over in James chapter 4, verse 8, James says this, draw nigh to God and he will draw nigh to you. Cleanse your hands, ye sinners, purify your hearts, ye double-minded. The psalmist in the last verse of that psalm says this, but it is good for me to draw near to God. I have put my trust in the Lord God that I may declare all thy works. This morning I want to preach a little while, staying close to God. Staying close to God. I'm going to begin this message with a statement. And I want you to listen very carefully to what I'm about to say. It's of vital importance that every saved person understand, comprehend, grasp the implications of what I'm about to say. Here's the statement. Every saved person's eternal relationship with God is the same, but their personal relationship with God is different. And say it again. Every saved person's relationship, eternal relationship with God is the same. What I mean by that is, once we're saved, we're always saved. We're his child. It's never going to change. Nothing can change it. But their personal relationship with God, different. According to the scriptures, those who have been born again by God, going to heaven. Paul tells us over in Romans 8, nothing can separate us from the love of Christ. And Jesus says in John 10 that those who are his sheep are in his hand, and no man can pluck them out of his hand because he's in his Father's hand. He and his Father are one. We have all those verses about eternal security. But see, I want you to understand, though we're all equally secure in God in that eternal relationship, in our personal relationship, we're all in different places. Some are closer, some are further. And this morning, I want to talk to you about having an intimate relationship with the Lord. You say, well, preacher, wait a minute. Why is it some people have a more intimate or a closer relationship with God than other people? Is it because God favors some people over others? No. Listen, God loves us all the same. You listen to me? Right now, you may be way out of fellowship with God. You may be in deep sin, but you've been saved. God never stopped loving you. He's going to love you no matter what you do, no matter where you go. God is going to love you because that's God. God is love. That's what he is. And if you're a saved person, God desires that personal relationship with you. He don't want you just to be another one of the sheep. Jesus said, my sheep know my voice. It means there's a personal contact there. God wants that with us. The reason some people have a closer relationship with the Lord than other people is because they want a closer relationship with the Lord. They desire to be more innocent with God, while others choose to stay distant. Now, in our text for today, the psalmist makes a very clear statement in that last verse. He says, "But it is good for me to draw nigh to God." And when he makes that statement, he reveals his understanding of the principle that I just shared with you, and the psalmist wants to have that close, intimate relationship with God. Which brings this question to us today. How's your relationship with the Lord? Would you classify yourself as someone who is close with Him and you've drawn nigh to Him like the psalmist said? Are you intimate with God? Is your relationship kind of, I don't know how I would describe it, not close, but distant? You know, I read in the Bible there were some folks who followed Jesus, but it said this about them. They followed afar off. You ever read in the Gospels about Jesus, people? It's interesting how it's broken down. He had a bunch of followers. Huh? We often think just the 12 followed Him. Well, I believe in many cases there were a lot more than the 12 following Him. Because He's doing miracles. And they love seeing these miracles done. And some of them need miracles. So oftentimes He had a big crowd following Him. And then, not only did He have the big crowd, but then He had the 12. And they were closer to Him. They didn't follow afar off. They stayed near Him all the time. But if you read your Bible, you'll find that there were three. Three that we call, here's what we call them, the inner circle. Yeah. Peter, James, and his brother John. And if you notice, those are the three that got to go to where Christ appeared to them up on the mountain. Remember? In His glory. The transfiguration. But only those three got to go. Remember when He went to pray in the garden? He took all 11. But He told them, stay here. But He took the three closer. Listen, even in Jesus' own ministry, while He was here on earth, there were some who were followers of Him, but afar off. And then there were some who were so close and intimate to Him. The psalmist said, it's good for me. It's good for me to draw near to God. And the question is, where are you? Now, I believe the only way we're ever going to stay close to God is we're going to have to strive to stay close to Him. Listen, because we're saved now, we belong to Christ, we have an enemy who works diligently to try to separate us and cause us to be estranged from Him. But we got to make up our mind. We talked in Sunday school about this word purpose. We got a purpose not to give in and to stay and to draw and to seek to be near to God. And so this morning I want to share some things we need to do if we are really going to draw nigh to God. Number one, we draw nigh to God by spending time with God in prayer. That's kind of a given, isn't it? Nod your head like this. Really, you want to be close to God. Number one, you ought to be close to Him in prayer. That's how you talk to Him. But you know what I find as a pastor? A lot of people aren't very close to God in prayer. In Psalm 63, verse 1. O God, Thou art my God, early will I seek Thee. My soul thirsteth for Thee, my flesh longeth for Thee in a dry and thirsty land where no water is. Do you think that psalmist wanted to draw nigh to God? This is his prayer. In Psalm 5, First three verses. Give ear to my words, O Lord. Consider my meditation. That's prayer. Hearken unto the voice of my cry, my King and my God. For unto thee will I pray. For my voice shalt thou hear in the morning. O Lord, in the morning will I direct my prayer unto thee. And will look up. Notice the emphasis on early. Morning. Now, listen. I'm not telling you how to run your Christian life. But I am going to tell you this. I think the best time to get alone with God in prayer is early in the morning. Now, we're to be in an attitude of prayer all the time, pray without ceasing. And we can pray. We can have a devotional time anytime, day or night. You know, that's between you and the Lord. Personally, I like to get with the Lord first thing in the morning. See, because here's the way I figured it out. I would rather get with Him early in the morning and get His leadership on me and His power on me and His wisdom, you know, and get everything of Him with me and then go through my day so that I can try to handle it the way He would want me to. Rather than getting up, getting out there, messing everything up, saying things I shouldn't say, doing things I shouldn't do, feeling things I shouldn't feel, and then have to come at night and say, Father, forgive me. See, that's why I recommend morning prayer. And Jesus got up hours before daylight on many occasions to go and pray. But regardless of when you want to pray, that's just another message and another side point. When you want to pray, we've got to set up a time of prayer. We've got to build, if you will, an intimate relationship with the Lord. It will not just happen. Our prayer time is a time of close, intimate communication with our Heavenly Father. Now, He's a Father. You're His child. Don't you think your Father wants to hear from you? We're parents. We know how parents long to hear. Hey, young people, listen to me. Your parents like to hear from you. Some of you, you know, you're teenagers and young people and you know, you're fixing to go out on your own. Hey! You don't even have to pick up the phone anymore. Just take it out of your pocket. What's it take to say, how you doing? You okay? Listen, parents long to hear from their children. I think I've told you when we took Arthur off to Bible college, he was the first one to leave the nest. We drove him up to Greenville. He was going to Bob Jones University up there to study engineering. We drove him up there and going up, things were okay. And we got up there and he got his stuff out of the car and took his stuff up in the dorm. We went up and saw his dorm room, you know. Well, now it's time for us to go. We got to drive home, several hours home. So we go down to the car and Arthur comes down and she's looking for him to just hug all over her and stuff, you know. And Art says, see ya. So she made him hug her, you know how moms are. And we got in the car and she cried all the way home to Jacksonville. Looked out that window and cried. Well, then he's up there and we're down in Florida and, you know, we figure he'll be calling. No? No? We'd have to call him. Hey, how's everything going? Oh, it's going all right. Now, I'm sure he wasn't intentionally, you know, distancing us. But the thing is, he didn't understand the parents' heart. Where we just long to hear from our kids. How do you think God feels? He wants to hear from you. And that's when you get in that prayer closet and just designate a little bit of time for Him. Because He's important to you. Because you love Him. Because you need Him. Our prayer time is a time of close, intimate relationship with the Father. It's a time we share our heart with Him. Listen, this is a time we can go and unload burdens on Him that we can't tell anybody else about. You know that, listen, the intimacy you can build with God is in a lot of ways the same intimacy you build with your mate if you're married. Listen, we talk and fellowship about more things than I fellowship and talk about with anybody else. There are things. That's where it ought to be with God. We need to build that relationship. Then we need to be careful about guarding that relationship. You know, sometimes people say, they'll hear a message on some of these things. They'll say, yeah, I need to have a prayer light. So they go home. I'm going to have a prayer light. And they find a place where I'm going to go. By the way, Jesus said, pray in your closet. Now, that's not literal. You don't have to go clean out the closet so you can get in there and pray. See, I know who I'm dealing with. I'm dealing with Baptists. But you need to have a private place. Just you and Him. Where the phone don't ring. TV's not on. Dog's not going to come and get you taken for a walk. Where you and Him. See, you talk to Him. And we need to guard that because here's what happens. As soon as you decide to do that, the enemy's going to attack. And he's going to try to keep you from praying. Yeah. Yeah. Don't think bad of me, but I have a hard time kneeling to pray. It's not because I don't respect God at all. There's some kind of connection with me that when my knees bend like that, my eyes close. So I have to develop a prayer relationship where that's not going to happen. Listen, you've had the experience, you go to pray and all of a sudden you wake up. Yeah. Oh, where was I? Huh? Relationship with God. Listen, the enemy's going to fight it. But if you're going to draw nigh to God, you better have a prayer life. Number two, I want to move quickly here. Recognize my dependency on God. If I'm going to have an intimate relationship with the Lord, I better recognize my dependency upon Him. Jesus said, I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. And then He said this, for without me ye can do nothing. See, we need to realize how dependent I really am on Him. I know we're in America, you know, we're all macho men and all that kind of mess, and we can make our own way. And listen, friend, best thing you can do is humble yourself, get rid of your old stinking pride, and realize you need God. I'll tell you what, our country would be a whole lot nicer place to live in if we get just people to understand they need God. Instead of throwing them out of our government, throw them out of our schools, and throw them out of our homes, and throw them out of everywhere, that we'd say, come! Be with us! Just a little sidelight. We've thrown him out of the school, we threw him out of the government, we threw him out of the home, we threw him out of everything. How's that working for us? Huh? Many of us grew up in a much different America than we're living in. And it's a lot of us not for the better. A lot of it has to do with what we've done with God. America, listen, America used to say, in God we trust. You know, they tried to take that off the coins. They've tried to wipe that out. Because the atheists and the liberals and the God haters don't want any recognition of God. But you know, when we try to adhere to that, in God we trust, again, our country was a much better country. Our homes were much better homes. Look where we are now. We need to see Him as how necessary he is in our lives. We need to see him for our source of supply. We don't think we need God. You know, I was watching the news yesterday and catching the weather. I saw up in the northwest part of our country, they're having snowstorms and blizzards, and I said, God bless you. I saw down, I think it was in the Texas part of the country, it's floods and rain and hail. Bad. Now I saw in California, it's like a tinderbox out there getting ready to explode. And then I saw the rains that are headed our way tomorrow. And the floods and stuff that that's bringing. And I'm saying, when's America going to wake up? And figure out why we're having all this. Huh? But understand this. All of America is dependent on God. Because he sends the rain, and he sends the sunshine. He says he rains on the just and the unjust. So without him, we're going to starve to death. We're not going to have water to drink. You know, we're not going to have air to breathe. So we're dependent on God. But when it comes to the Christian life, we are especially dependent on him. Listen, everything about the Christian life depends on spiritual power. We cannot do it in ourselves. Jesus said, without me, ye can do nothing. Our dependency is on him. Listen, if we're going to live the right kind of life, if we're going to have the right kind of attitudes, if we're going to go to the right places and do the right things and all for God, we're going to have to live in the power of the Holy Spirit. Our dependency is on him. He's the vine. We're just the branches. You get it? The vine is the source. We're just the branches. And then we need to recognize him not only as our source of supply, but our sovereign. Listen, he's in control of our lives. Most of you know, last Thursday, I was supposed to have a surgery. It's been on the schedule for a couple months. But I got sick last weekend. Now, I was really wanting to get this thing done, so to be done. But, you know, I had to tell the Lord last weekend, okay, Lord, if this thing don't happen, that's okay. Not that he needs my approval, but I just want to let him know I'm okay with it. Because you're in control. You know what's best. And he always does what's best. He's our sovereign. You know, we get so accustomed to, I want my way. We need to get to the place where I want God's way. Huh? That's where we need to live. Get intimate with him because he's where our dependency is. By the way, he's our security and salvation. I'm saved. I've been saved since 1974. And I haven't doubted my salvation. And I'm saved, and I tell people this, I have the security, I have the knowledge, and I have the faith and belief that if I drop dead right here, I'm going to heaven. But I want to add quickly, but it's not because I'm a Baptist preacher. It's not because of anything I've done. It's because way back then, some 40 years ago, I came to a place where I trusted Jesus Christ as my Savior, and he said he put me in his hand. And he said he put his hand in the Father's hand, and he said, no man can pluck me out of his hand. My security is not in me or anything I do or don't do or whatever. It's in him. Staying close to God by considering God's goodness to me. You know, one thing about the Psalms. I love to read them because they're so worshipful and praiseful. The psalmist, oftentimes David, just lifting up praise to God. Now, I know there's some other ones. You know, there's a couple imprecatory psalms in there. You know what that is. Praying God's wrath on his enemies. A couple of them, too. But most of it's praise and wonderful things about God. But we need to consider our goodness. In Psalm 34, verse 1, I will bless the Lord, watch this, at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. My soul shall make her boast in the Lord. The humble shall hear thereof and be glad. Then he says this, oh, magnify the Lord with me and let us exalt his name together. You want to stay close to God? Keep in mind how great, how wonderful, how blessed you've been by him. Just think about how bountifully he's blessed us. You know, we sing the song usually around Thanksgiving, count your blessings. No, we ought to count them every day. You know, I count it a blessing every day when I can get out of bed. Simple thing like that. And I have to say this, it wasn't always that way. You know, a lot of days I'd bounce out of bed, go about my business. But see, there came a day when I couldn't bounce out of bed. For a couple of months, I couldn't just get at it. And I began to realize the value. Just being able to get out of bed. Just being able to get a shower and get dressed and go and do what you're supposed to do. What a blessing of the Lord. Because you know what I figured out? There's some people who couldn't do it. They'd love to if they could. Can't do it. I've been visiting Kitty Lotze over in a nursing home for 24 years. Since the day I met her, she's crippled up with arthritis and things. And she's in that nursing home. She can't go anywhere or do anything. I wonder what she'd give to be able to go and do what I do. Listen, we need to count our blessings. We need to consider how great he's blessed us. And we could go on and on, health and food and clothes and whatever. And then consider how undeserving we are of anything from him. We don't deserve anything from him. We're just a bunch of dirty, low-down, filthy, rotten sinners. Who, if you trusted Christ, you're a dirty, low-down, filthy, rotten, saved sinner. Amen. See, we're still sinners. But we're saved by the grace of God, giving us what we don't deserve. And we need to recognize how God has blessed us and all these blessings. Sometimes we think God owes us. Sometimes we think God ought to give us. And sometimes we deserve things. Hey, if we got what we deserve from God, we know what we get. We get hell. Listen, we're saved. Going to heaven when we die. Everything on top of that is ice cream on top. You want to get close to him? Hey, how about this? How about considering what he's done for us? The price he paid for us. He died for you. See, we said, oh yeah, Jesus died for me. Stop and think about it. The awful death he died. And then number four, we can draw nigh to God by living with an awareness of his presence in our life. I think one of the biggest neglects in the Christian life today is the neglect of the Holy Spirit. If you're saved, he lives in you. Boy, I got so last week. Couldn't get to church. So I was foolish enough to think I could find church. I found old what's-his-name. I found a couple other yahoos. So last Sunday evening, my wife had come to go to church and I tried again. And I came across a guy and boy, he was preaching a couple of things. I said, man, this guy's at a big church. Hey, he's doing pretty good. He's talking about the Holy Spirit. How you get baptized by the Holy Spirit into the body of Christ. Yeah. And he went on about baptism and things. And then pretty soon he says, if you've been saved, now you need to be baptized by the Holy Spirit. Then he went on to say this. He said, if you've never asked God to baptize you with the Holy Spirit, you've never been baptized by the Holy Spirit. He went on to say, you don't have the Holy Spirit. I said, that's interesting. Romans 8:9 says that if I don't have the Spirit of Christ, I'm none of His. Listen, friend, there's a bunch of junk being preached out there. It's not true. But what is true is when you got saved, the Holy Spirit moved in and He's not moving out. He's a permanent resident. And He don't have to pay rent. He's there. He's staying. He's going to be there. And by the way, if you're not going to live right, you're not going to like the fact that He's there. Because He's going to irritate you. You think it's heartburn. You're taking Tums. You're taking Nexium. You're taking everything in the world. Because you can't. It ain't no heartburn. It's spiritual heartburn. Get your heart right. Listen, He said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. And we need to learn to live every day, every moment of our lives with the awareness that God is with me. I'll tell you what, if you'll live with that awareness, it's going to change your ideas about where you go and don't go. What you do, what you say, who you're hanging around with, what you're looking at, what you're listening to. See, because you realize, hey, God's here. I didn't leave Him home when I left. See, some Christians think on Monday morning when church is over and everything on Sunday, they hang up Jesus and the Holy Spirit and they say, I'll see you next week. Ah. He's right with you. You need to practice His presence with you. And I've got to hurry on. One more thing. We can draw nigh to God by sharing in His work. We're going to have a work party in a couple of weeks. I'm hoping some of you come. We need help. We got things to do. But you know what I found out about working together? It builds unity. Yeah. When you work together, it builds a common denominator, so to speak, a common goal that you come together and you strive towards. And you know what else working together helps you to do? It helps you to focus on what needs to get done and not everything else. You know, when Christians start focusing on the work that God wants us to do and we quit focusing on everything else, we can get the job done. Listen, God has privileged us with the opportunity to work together with Him. Let's say it this way without being irreverent. God said, hey, I got a work to do. Come help me. He asked you. This is God. Come on, work with me. How many people want to? What a privilege we have. But you know, when you start working with God, when you get busy in His work, when you start serving Him and living for Him and witnessing for Him, you will be amazed at how much closer you come to Him. You know, the psalmist hit the nail on the head. But it is good for me to draw near to God. And it's good for every one of us to work on that intimate relationship God wants us to have. I want you to bow your heads for just a minute. I want to remind you of this. God loves you today. Say, how do you know that? Read it in the Bible. How do you know He loves me? Because God loves the world. And that means every person in the world. Well, you don't know what I've done. Doesn't matter. You don't know my past. Doesn't matter. You don't know what I'm into right now. Doesn't matter. God loves you. But why does He love me? He chose to. He doesn't love you because of anything you are or do or can be. He loves you because way back before the very foundations of the world, He made up His mind. And He said, I'm going to love the world. And then the Bible tells us He loved us so much, He sent His Son to die for us so that we could be saved. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. Amen. That's how much God loves you. He made a way for you to be saved. He made a way for you to have your sins forgiven, for you to go to heaven. He did it all. You don't have to do anything. You don't have to go to church. You don't have to be holy. You don't have to do anything. God says, just receive my gift of salvation. You can be saved. How many in this room could raise their hand and in honesty and say, preacher, I've done that. I received the gift. I've been saved. Here's my hand. Oh, God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. Couldn't see everybody did and didn't, but I'm going to ask this. If you could not raise your hand a minute ago, right now God's speaking to your heart. God's saying to you, that's what you need. Listen to that preacher. He's telling you what you need. Would you this morning say, preacher, I need to get saved. I've never done that. I'd like to know that I'm going to heaven when I die. I'd like to know that my sins are forgiven. I need Jesus as my Savior. I realize that. And this morning, I'd like somebody to take the Bible and show me how to be saved, preacher. Here's my hand. Would you hold it up? I won't call your name. Won't embarrass you. I'll pray for you. Would you hold up your hand so I can see it? Anybody at all? Believer, how close are you to God? How's your relationship? I believe there are some believers in this room who have been holding God at arm's length. He wants to have a close relationship with you, but you're not willing. You keep Him standing out. And today God is saying, hey, I want you to establish that close relationship with me. James says, if we'll draw nigh to Him, He'll draw nigh to us. God says, take that step, child. Would you come to Him today and seek that close relationship? Heads bowed, eyes closed, Christians, you raise your hand and say you're saved. How many would say, preacher, I believe I have a close relationship with God right now. Here's my hand. I believe I have a close relationship with God right now. Here's my hand. God bless you. Now how many would say, preacher, I couldn't raise my hand. I'm willing to admit it. It needs to change. I'm making a decision today. I'm asking God to help me change it. Here's my hand. Here's my hand. Hold up high, 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 high. I see it all over, all over. God's speaking to hearts. Let's stand together. 131, songbook. Here's the invitation. You need to be saved. Listen, you need to be saved. You come. As soon as we start to sing, you just slip out and come. And I'll meet you right here and I'll shake your hand, but that won't save you. But I'll put you with a man if you're a man, lady if you're a lady. Take you to a quiet place, show you how to be saved. Christian, you said your relationship needs some work. Come and do business with God about it. You don't have to give us a speech. By the way, He may have been speaking to you about something entirely different, but you need to come do business with God. You come. Just you and Him. Do business with Him. Father, bless the invitation. Thank You for the psalmist. Thank You for his words of encouragement, how good it is to be near to God. Help us to be nearer to You than ever before. And Lord, if there's somebody here without Christ, might they come and know You as their Savior today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.